Let's pray. Father, we are just thrilled to be here on this brisk fall morning. And Lord, you're just so gracious to us. And we pray that as we gather in this morning, that you would just open up our hearts and prepare us to just hear a special word from you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I recently received one of those factory warranty calls, you know, the ones that say, "We're calling to inform you that the factory warranty on your vehicle is about to expire." And let me just give you a little insight into me and who I am. I hate for anything to expire. I don't like when clothes go out of style. I don't like when clothes don't fit. I hate it more than anything if there's food in my fridge that is about to get to that expiration date. And so what I do is I'll rush to food.com and pull up like 500 recipes that I could possibly make with that food. And that's what we're eating for dinner. Because I don't like to throw things in the trash. I would rather mix sour cream with my pancakes than throw the sour cream. You get my point. Eating is survival in my home. I hate for things to expire. So, as you can imagine, when I got my little phone call, my factory warranty call, I was intrigued by this. I listened to this guy go through all of the great services that I would no longer be receiving if I were to actually let my warranty on my vehicle expire. Well, he continues to talk about a few things, and then he hit me with the cost of extending my warranty, at which point I freaked out and hung up the phone because I don't like to deal with that kind of stuff. I'm kind of an easy target for telemarketers and that sort of thing. So I hung up the phone. As I hung up, I started thinking about our service to the Lord, and I thought, what if Jesus were to give every person a phone call? Maybe it would sound kind of like my telemarketer's call. Maybe it would go something like this. Your service is about to expire, and I'm holding you responsible for the resources that you've been entrusted with while I've been away. If you made the most of those resources, then I'm going to extend and even multiply your coverage. But if you've chosen not to use your free gift of service, then I'm going to remove it from your care, and you're left without coverage. Remember that there's no charge for this extension and upgrade. Only that your prior resources be used completely and to the best of your ability. Thank you and enjoy your service until I return. How refreshing would that be if our auto warranties worked that same way? We would never let them expire, right? I mean, if somebody told you, just come in, get your brakes checked, we'll extend you another 3 years. We would never let it expire. But really, our service to the Lord works that way. God has entrusted us with certain resources, and all we have to do to extend our coverage is use those resources that he's entrusted us with. But sometimes we fail to realize that our opportunities to serve the Lord with the resources that he's blessed us with will expire when he returns to have us give an account of what we've done with them. And he will return, ladies. So knowing that, we're left with two options regarding the resources that we've been given, and that's discussed in today's parable. The first option is to use it while he's gone. The second, or we can lose it when he returns. Read with me in chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received the 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Well, last week, Penny shared about the parable of the virgins, and she encouraged us to watch for Christ's coming and to be ready. We were stirred to watch and to be ready. Well, the parable of the talents explains to us what we're to do in the meantime, that we're to use our talents to serve others and to serve God for his kingdom and for his glory while he is gone. The first thing we see is that each servant was given a talent. Each servant was given a talent because the master trusts his servant. Now, we can see this in a couple ways. We can see the trust of the master because he left in the first place. He left and he left his servants in charge. Now, this is describing the period after Jesus' ascension into heaven and before his second coming. The period that we're living in today, right? Jesus has gone to prepare a place to us. He had a work and he entrusted us to care for what is his. And incidentally, ladies, everything is his. So we've been entrusted with whatever we have, and that belongs to the Lord. We are stewards of what is his. Now, those of you who have teenagers would recognize what a big deal it would be to leave your home and entrust it in the care of your teenagers, right? My sister and I never got that opportunity as teenagers. We were seniors in high school and still had babysitters when my parents went out of town. And rightly so, because we were not the sort of teenagers that you want to entrust with your house. My parents were wise in that. They knew us. But now this servant, or this master, trusted his servants. The second thing we see is that he not only left them in charge of his estate, but he left them his money. Now, some of you might say, well, I'd leave my kids with my house. But very few of you would say, you know what, honey, take the bank account too. And whatever you see fit, you go ahead and spend our money on. But that's what this servant did. Our homework tells us that one talent could have been worth as much as $800,000 today. Warren Wiersbe says that this would have been 20 years worth of wages for one servant. So this was a huge responsibility that this master is entrusting to his servants. He clearly trusted his servants. Well, now we know that talents in this parable is referring to money, but I don't think that we need to limit it. Limit this parable just to talking about financial resources. I think it extends to all resources that God has given you, be it financial, be it opportunities to serve him, be it gifts and abilities. Whatever it is that God has entrusted to you, that is what we are to serve him with. Each servant was given a talent, and each of us have been given a talent with which we are to serve the Lord. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. See, he appoints us as messengers, and he puts us in his service that we might be ministers and teachers and comforters and helpers, whatever it is that God has chosen for us to do. And here's the great news, ladies. We don't have to strive to serve the Lord. All we have to do is realize what it is that God has entrusted us with and take that and serve him with it. Are you really good at knitting? Awesome, knit for Jesus. Are you really good at singing? Sing for Jesus. That's all we have to do to serve the Lord. The next thing we see about the master is that he not only trusts his servants, but he knew their capabilities. He doesn't give them more, and he doesn't give them less than they can handle. He gave one man 5, another man 2, and another 1. Now, we like things to be equal. I remember Larissa at one point talked about how she liked things to be equal growing up in one of her teachings. Well, I liked things to be equal, too. And as I said, there were two of us, and we fought a lot. We were rotten teenagers, but we were even worse kids. But my poor mom. Anyway, we liked to have the same thing. But we would fight if we had the exact same thing because we would wonder if that mine or is it yours. And so my mom would always buy us like the same shirt, only my sister would get pink and I would get blue. It developed sort of a complex, like they wished they had had a boy. But anyway, like, you know, my sister one year got kid sister for Christmas, and I got my buddy. I was like, what's the deal? I'm like, your second girl. But anyway, we liked things to be equal, and that was the way my parents did. Well, Imagine if God had distributed, or if the master had distributed his talents equally. If the man who had been capable of one talent had been given five, it would have been his ruin. And if the man who had been capable of five had only been given one talent, then he would have wasted his potential. See, God knows our potential. Do we know our potential? S.C. Gordon, in his book, The Bent Knee Time, said, "We have nothing to do with how much ability we've got or how little, but with what we do with what we have. The man with great talent is apt to get puffed up, and the man with little talent to belittle the little talent he has. Poor fools. God gives it, much or little. Our part is to be faithful, doing the level best with every bit and scrap. And we will be if Jesus' Spirit controls us." If you're feeling today like your burden of responsibility is too heavy or too light, then you just need to remember that God sees the big picture, and God knows exactly what you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So the master trusted his servants, and he knew what they can what they could handle. Each servant was given his own talent. The second thing we see is that each servant was given a choice on how to use his talents. That's in verse 16 through 18. "Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received the one went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Now we see that the faithful servants went immediately and traded their talents. Our homework says that to trade means literally to toil and labor continuously. And the result of their continuous labor was that their talents were multiplied. These were the people that went in for those vehicle checkups regularly. They got the most out of their warranty. But the faithless dug a hole and hid his talents. See, I believe that this unfaithful servant didn't really believe that the master was going to return, and so he ignored his opportunity to serve his master. Someone once said, "Everyone has a talent, but what is rare is the courage to follow that talent into the dark places where it may lead." It may take some of us blood, sweat, and tears to just be faithful, but great is our reward. Retired General Jerry Boykin said in his 2008 Epicenter conference, he said, "One day we're going to stand before the gates of heaven, and some of us want to be able to walk up there in a white robe, and we want to sing Abba Father and Amazing Grace, and we want to say, 'Lord, I worshiped you.' But I want you to think about this. Here's the way I want to enter the gates of heaven. I want to come skidding in there on all fours, and I want to be slipping and sliding, and I want to hit the gates of heaven with a bang. And when I stand up and I stand before Christ, I want there to be blood on my knees and my elbows, and I want to be covered with mud, and I want to be standing there with a ragged breastplate of righteousness and a spear in my hand, and I want to say, 'Look at me, Jesus. I've been in a battle, and I've been fighting for you.'" Ladies, we get to put on our armor and get into that battle today. Now is the time to serve the Lord with the resources that we've been given, because our time is about to expire. You've been given talents, and you've been given daily opportunities to serve God with those talents. Now is the time, and if you don't use them while he's gone, then you'll lose them when he returns. This brings us to the second part. The first thing that we see in this second part is that each yielded a result. You can go ahead and scratch out whatever's on your outline and just write the words, "each yielded a result." See, when the master returns, our service will have expired. And he'll want to know what we did with the resources that he had given us. We remember that we've been given a talent, ladies. In Romans 14:10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Psalm 28:4 says, give them according to their deed and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Render to them what they deserve. And we will receive a reward if we're faithful. It's like going to the dentist when you're a kid and you get to get a prize if you don't have any cavities. My dentist used to have this big giant treasure chest, and if you were part of the no cavity club, you got to get a special prize, right? I never got the prize. My sister would go home with a slinky or a bouncy ball or something fabulous, and I went home with a toothbrush and dental floss. Which to a kid is punishment, right? I mean, I know we all get excited about the free toothbrush now, but come on. At 7, you didn't. But the message was clear. Go home, do the work, and when the dentist returns, you'll get a prize. There was a reward for faithfulness. We see that reward in verses 19 through 23. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received the 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The first thing that we see about this is that when the faithful servant comes before his master, he remembers what he has been given. He remembers. Sometimes it's good, ladies, for us to just take a quick inventory in our hearts or maybe even on paper of all that the Lord has given us. It changes our perspective and it changes our attitude towards the Lord to just remember all that we have been given. So these servants remember what they'd been given, and then they produce evidence of their faithfulness. If you wonder if you've been a good steward with what the Lord has given you, you'll have something to show for your diligence. If you've been really faithfully praying for your kids, maybe your jeans are worn around the knees. I don't know what you're going to have to show for it, but you will have something to show for it. And these faithful servants had something to show, and their master tells them, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Don't you want to hear that someday? Oh, I think that there is potential that we could all hear that if we would just be faithful. He says, you have been faithful with few, and I'm going to make you a ruler over many. Charles Spurgeon preached to thousands in London every Sunday, but he started his ministry by passing out tracts and teaching a Sunday school class as a teenager. When he began to give short addresses at Sunday school, God blessed the ministry of the word, and he was invited to preach in all these little obscure towns all around London. Well, and all around the countryside, but he used every opportunity to honor the Lord. See, he was faithful in these small things, and God entrusted him to bigger things. He said this, I am perfectly sure that if I had not been willing to preach those small gatherings of people in those obscure country places, that I should never have had the privilege of preaching to thousands of men and women in large buildings all over the land. Remember the Lord's rule, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Maybe you have a gift that's not being used right now for lack of opportunity. But I charge you to look around and see that is it really opportunity to use that gift that's lacking, or is it that you're just not satisfied with the opportunities that God's presenting you right now? We don't know if the task seems small to the servants. I mean, I look at it and I'm like, 20 years wages times 5 or times 2, that seems like a big deal to me. But we don't know if it seemed small to these servants. But the master counted it as few compared to how he would bless them now that they had shown themselves faithful. He gave them more wealth, more responsibility, and an opportunity to share in his joy. It's interesting to note that both servants are rewarded equally. Mark Hatfield tells of touring Calcutta with Mother Teresa, and he visited the House of Dying, which is where the sick children were left to die, and also the dispensary, which is where the poor would line up by the hundreds to receive medical care. And he said, watching Mother Teresa with these people, she would feed and she would nurse all of these sick and dying children and elderly people that were left with no one else. And he said, how can you bear the load of all this suffering day in and day out and not be crushed by it? And Mother Teresa replied, my dear senator, I'm not called to be successful. I'm just called to be faithful. See, the world would say that the man with the 10 talents was more successful, but God would judge them equally faithful. And that's how he judges success, if we're faithful to use what we've been entrusted. Isaiah kind of understood how we might feel sometimes. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 4, the Lord says to him, you are my servant Israel, and you will bring me glory. And he responds, but my work seems so useless. This is New Living, by the way. My work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and no purpose. Yet, I leave it all in the Lord's hands, and I will trust God for my reward. We need to be faithful, regardless of the size of our responsibility, ladies. You may feel like what you're doing right now has no eternal value, but let me tell you that it does. If God has entrusted it to you, you can serve him with it. Be faithful, and great will be your reward. Well, we see that there was a reward for faithfulness, but the result of wickedness was not so encouraging. The result for wickedness was reproof and removal from the master's house. Verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. But look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take that talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This servant's wickedness is revealed. See, he clearly recognized that he had done something wrong because he tried to make an excuse for what he had done. He says, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. And the master, we don't have to consider that the master either agreed or disagreed with this servant. He just repeats it as if to say, well, if you knew that, then you ought to have put my money in the bank. This shows the wickedness of this man's heart. See, the real issue wasn't that he was afraid of the master. It could have been more likely that he wanted to keep that money for himself. And in thinking that the master wouldn't return, see, had he put the money in the bank, there would have been an account of who that money belonged to. And should the master never return, that man would not have been able to claim that money. But if he buried it, then he would have been able to use that for himself. So there's probably some selfish ambition there. He'd wasted the resource that he had been given and the opportunity he'd been given to serve the Lord. It's like this story about this rich man who had wanted to give his mother the perfect birthday present, and he wanted it to outshine all others. So he read of this bird who, this is amazing, he read of this bird who had a vocabulary of 4,000 words. He could speak in numerous languages, and he could even sing 3 operatic arias. So he thought, I need to have that bird for my mom. So he bought the bird for $50,000 and had it delivered to his mother. The next day, he called his mom to say, so, Mom, what'd you think of the bird? Oh, honey, it was delicious. She wasted this treasure because she didn't realize the value of the thing that she had. True story. His wickedness was revealed in that he wasted his talent, and all was lost to this servant. His talent was taken to him, and it was given to the faithful servant. And he was deemed an unprofitable servant and cast into utter darkness. So the question becomes, was this man a true believer? Well, some say yes. And they make a good argument. They would argue that the utter darkness is not referring to hell, although hell is referred to as utter darkness throughout the Gospels. But these people would argue that it is not referring to hell, but rather having his reward lost and having his opportunities to serve the Lord taken away. This would refer to an utter darkness. Others would say, no, he was not a true believer, that this was more of a sorting out of the righteous and the unrighteous, kind of like the wheat and the tares that Carmen spoke about a few weeks ago. I sort of lean towards that. I think that this wicked servant didn't act because he didn't believe. I think he didn't trust that his master would return. The first step to believing God, ladies, to believing in God, is that we believe him. See, if we don't believe what God said to be true, that he's coming back and that he will require an account of what we've done, then I don't think we can surely say that we believe that he came in the first place. I don't know that this man was a true believer, but I like what Pastor Skip said best. He said, rather than worrying about it one way or another, why not just get busy serving? We've all been given talents. We don't need to focus on how we can lose them when we know how to multiply them, right? Be careful to understand this isn't salvation by works, okay? We are saved by grace and grace alone. But if you're saved here today, ladies, you've got work to do. God's entrusted you to care for what is his. So get busy. Our service is about to expire, and we will be held accountable for the resources that God has entrusted us with. We have a choice. We can choose to use those resources to serve God and others and to give him glory, or we can bury them in the sand and lose them when he returns. And he will return. Amen? So what resources has God given you? How are you serving him and others through those resources? If you're not, I encourage you to think of ways that you can. If you're confused, ask a friend. Ask your small group leader, how can I serve the Lord with this gift that I've been given? How can I be faithful to use my talents? To those of you who are faithfully using your talents, continue steadfastly, because great is your reward. He will return. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you have entrusted us with so many talents and resources and opportunities, Father, and we pray that our eyes would be open to them as we go out today. Lord, I pray that you give us hearts that are willing and willing, Father, that we would just be willing to serve you, God. You were so willing to serve us. And Lord, you're so willing to die for us, and we're thankful for that, Father. And we anxiously await your return and the day that you will tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.